Welcome to SV Pod. Stanford Steve is here, and I have to warn you, we have a problem, Steve.
Uh-oh. What happened?
I don't have a note card. Last week, Taylor is our new guy on the ones and twos.
Rockhold, so you're trying to impress with him?
I'm not that worried. I mean, one way or another. But I think we did impress because we kept it moving. We had good tempo, good pace. You know why? Because me, the scatterbrain guy, had a little note card with all the things I wanted to make sure we got to. And so we did with great efficiency. I don't have a card in front of me. So all I have now is my brain, and my brain is like a big pile of mashed potatoes.
Okay.
But I know where we're starting.
Ooh.
Halloween. Let's start in the dad pod space. All the young parents out there listening, even in the old parents, you remember the old days, right?
Yeah.
Not a lot better. Not a lot better if you're in the sweet spot of Halloween where our kids are at the moment than Halloween. They spent all day asking when they could put their outfits on. And they spent most of the late afternoon just twitching with anticipation. And it went well. I was out in the mix. I was up waist deep in the trick or treat and door to door, knocking, saying hi to neighbors. Did you go do any of that, Steve?
Yeah. Here's the question, though.
All right, I'm listening.
The timing.
Yeah.
Like, they're bouncing off the walls, and it's like 4:05. Colts Titans is coming down to the wire.
Yep.
Jets Bengals is a fiasco. Just can I watch? There's 2 minutes left in the game. Can I just watch that and good? We'll go. We'll come back whenever you guys want. Just give me that.
Now, see, this is where I have a little bit of a leg up because the boys are on the couch with Pops and they're into watching. And this isn't a boy-girl thing because girls like football too, but your girls don't.
No, they don't.
And so I don't know that reality. I don't live in that space. I will say, though, that my daughter, who was an ice skater, she had rollerblades on. She was just circling the hardwood in the room we were in. The boys were chasing. And I was not the best version of myself during the witching hour. Because there was some stuff coming down to the wire on Sunday.
I know.
And I needed the circling of the ice skater to stop. And it mostly did not. But the amount of candy for a short trip. I mean, our kids are little. Our neighborhood, the houses are just far enough in between that by the middle of it, the little man Charlie was laying down between the houses and taking rests. And then when it was time to go, he would just put his arms up to me, and it was my job to carry him to the next one.
Got it.
But I have an observation. And I'm really curious about this, not just from you. You're the only person that can give me feedback, but our listeners can as well. And I need you all listening to let me know on the bird if you have noticed this same issue. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is the earliest ever. Things I hate. I hate this. What happened to trick or treat?
Steve and I have lengthy lists talking about this guy or this thing or this whatever. Once a week, one thing a week.
Here's what I hate.
When the door opens, knock, knock, ding, dong, door opens. Our kids, our group of kids, no one says anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just stand and demand the food unspoken, except for Charlie, who was sprinting into houses. We had to tell him, you can't go into the home. The door opening is not an invitation for you to enter. This is like a B&E. We're from The Flash over here. But our kids, and I say I hate it, I realize it's on us. I failed them. No one instructed them. Door opens. You say trick or treat. No one in our group says it. Did your group of people or your kids say the magic words?
They did. They did.
Okay, now, here's well, good the other, for them.
Here's the other dynamic, though, is that with everything that's happened, I feel like I was the responsible one last night. You How were so? A responsible one because we had to come into work.
Yep.
But there's parents just out there getting faced. They got their cider. They got their fire. And they're out in front of the driveway. So it's like you don't even have the knock on the door mystery anymore, right? Like you just see them coming, walking up the street. So everybody's like, hey, yeah, come on over here. Like everybody's just having a good time getting annihilated. It's like, yeah, take what you want. Oh, what are you? Okay. Oh, we got a Wonder Woman here and this is that. So the idea of, I mean, now it's just a party, at least in the neighborhoods we were at. People on call, whatever, on the end of the cul-de-sac, all the neighbors were going there. The tables are just out with candy. And then I don't even know, I want to know what's in the coolers that are over by the people with the folding chairs.
So on a school night, totally no less. School correct. Night.
Maybe that's for a, some.
That's aggressive.
Yeah,
Sam
it was.
My son
was like, it was the whole dynamic of it of being on a Sunday, though, was weird.
I agree. You know,
really
I agree.
Weird.
My Sam was very upset. Why don't you get holidays off? I was like, son, this is kind of a fake one. He's like, no, it's not. It's real to me.
Halloween.
It's Dad. Real to me.
Dad.
But I had noticed, this is something I noticed before. It's a phenomenon. It's a relatively recent development. When I lived in a house where the kids would knock on doors, I'd open the door and they'd just stand there and look at you. And so I this is going back to the Connecticut time. I would just, I'd look at them and look at me. And if no one said anything, I'd say, what? And then they'd look at me like, even like, what do you mean what? And then I'd be like, say it. They're like, trick or treat. It's a simple exchange.
Yeah.
You say that, then I give you food. Come on, man. And when did people stop saying it? No one says it. And then I will give our group credit, though. Everybody screamed thank you on the way out, except
there
Charlie.
You go. That's the key.
Thank you is way more important than trick or treat. Thank you. Thank you. If we're ranking the order of importance, thank you is higher on the list than say trick or treat, but just say trick or treat.
We did have a couple instances where my two older ones, the door opened and they just put their bucket out. Like,
yep.
Go ahead, just put it in there.
There you go.
So
that's our right. Yeah, that's
our consistency wasn't great, but
they're young.
Yeah,
they're young.
We got to learn it. It's a process.
They're malleable. They're moldable. We it's our job as parents to make sure the thank you, but just say trick or treat. It's not a lot to ask. All right. So with that, wait. I'm not done with Halloween. In the history of good calls, few calls have been more accurate than what you said last week about what everyone was going to be. How many lassos were there at on the loose in the universe?
All over.
Everywhere.
I have a friend. We'll just call him Jeff.
And that's Jeff.
That's whose house we went to, okay?
All right, Jeff. Was he lasso?
No. Jeff was having a good time. And so I am astounded at how many parents do dress up to go out trick-or-treating. I guess I'm in the minority on that.
No, that's a thing. People sit there like, hey, what are you going to be? I'm like, so, I'm going to be a dad. What are you talking about? Like, oh, no, you're supposed to dress. My kids don't ask. They don't care what I am. They don't even wait for me. Like, I'm a house behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay,
so we're in Jeff's neighborhood. So everybody knows Jeff. But as the people who are dressed up were walking by, Jeff would just give the, hey, that's great. You look great. And it was just.
Did he mean it or was he sarcastic?
No, he didn't mean it. It was just bad. It was in reference to bad costumes where the parents were trying hard. But, you know. Yeah.
I got you. A lot of lassos out there. Steve was all over.
A lot of laughs.
All right. So that's behind us. As is Halloween, it's November. It's cold here. Let's go. Giddy up. Wintertime. Where should we start? Last week, I was fired up to talk NFL out of the gate. Where are we going?
I think we could do this every week. We did it a little bit earlier in the year. We could do it the rest of the year. Who's the best team in the AFC?
Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
They lost to the Titans, goofy ending. Allen kind of slips. Tennessee's hot, but the Henry news changes the dynamic of what they can be. The fact that that window gives them the possibility for a return late in the year, which actually might not be the worst thing, because that dude's a lot of miles on those tires, fresh mm-hmm. legs and a healed foot. That's a scary proposition. But the best team in the AFC right now is the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
You have a counter to that?
I don't. I am really, really interested, though, because I look at what happened this weekend. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we still have to see Kansas City, see if they can get right Monday night. But the idea of how things fell, you know, the Bengals were the one seed, right? Coming into last week, they lose to the Jets, blah, blah, blah. And the Raiders are sitting there. And with all that's going on, they're sitting going into the bye week with as a two seed. They're going into the bye week. I know Jacobs got banged up. You get a little health there. Their defense has been better. I wonder if they build off of something here, where now they got through the firing or the resignation of Gruden. But I mean, I feel like it's a locker room. I mean, that stuff is strong. And I'm not saying it's the perfect timing, but the way it's all fallen right now, like they got to be feeling really, really good about the possibility they have ahead of them, knowing what's happened to other teams and knowing what they're capable of. I think they've done a great job of powering through things. And I really think they're something to keep an eye on for sure. I mean, everybody, you know, Chargers were the team and then they got waxed by Baltimore, and they got a bye week, and then they get beat by New England again. And now people are questioning Herbert, and then obviously Kansas City. But I feel really good if I'm Las Vegas right now.
All right. Sometimes the best thing you can do is not play. You know what I mean? In terms of your perception.
No doubt.
Because a week ago, we sat here and we were raving about the Bengals. And then I said this on SportsCenter. It's easy to turn the loss to the Jets into I doubt the Bengals. I give Saleh and his team credit, man. They battled. They competed. They were down 11 in the fourth, and they just kept playing. Next mm-hmm. play, next play, and they got a win. That happens in the NFL. Always has, always will. But I don't. That doesn't make me doubt the Bengals. But again, my point on the Raiders is sometimes just not playing is what helps you move forward, because you didn't have an opportunity to look bad. I like Buffalo. I trust them. They also, like, that game was close against Miami. They have the ability to string together points in a hurry. You keep their offense down for a bit. And then in a series or two, Allen gets hot and they can score 14 on you in a hurry. That's what they did, 17 on Sunday against Miami. And that lead or that game got away from the Dolphins late. But that's the team in the AFC. NFC is the more interesting question at the moment, just because I think you have more candidates. The way the Arizona game ended, right? If Green and Murray don't miscommunicate and they mm-hmm. actually get that, they're unbeaten. And you're like, damn, they didn't look great. Their O-line got owned most of that game, and they still figured out a way to win. But instead, Green Bay gets a pick. They leave their 7-1. So them, Arizona, the Rams, I mean, those are the teams that are all – I think at the top of the list, Tampa Bay gets beat again in the regular season by New Orleans. So I don't know if that's a knock on them, if that drops them a little bit. Arians sounded disgusted on Sunday. Oh. Penalties, turnovers, said we just didn't play. We just, nothing we did was good enough. But I think the NFC's a more interesting conversation, because you could probably talk yourself into three or four different teams there. Who's one on your list?
One thing back on the AFC real quick, though, because about a month ago, I thought it was Cleveland. That is a brutal loss to Pittsburgh. And it just feels like Cleveland is losing a lot of momentum here. I mean, obviously, injuries are a part of everybody's season. It just feels like they're never going to have their whole team. It feels like they lose an offensive lineman on that great offensive line every week. And it was a huge opportunity yesterday, I think. That they missed, but you know, they've proven they bounce back. But I just look at what they did last year in close games, and now seeing what they've done in close games this year, it's the total opposite direction, and it's not good. No. NFC, I really want Green Bay to get home field. That's what I'm rooting for, because I don't want the Rams or Arizona to have home field.
I agree, just because I think it's more fun. The possibility of weather always just ramps up the, you know, the
same thing for Buffalo. That'd be awesome.
It just ramps up the possibility. That said, you know, Tampa Bay went up there last year and got a win. It's not saying it guarantees them.
No, not at all.
A bye. It just means it's more interesting as opposed to playing in a, you know, the indoors of SoFi or the big toaster in the desert.
It's better theater. Theater.
Like, there you go.
You took a theater class, didn't you?
I did. Again, it's, you know, shout to Rosilla theater classes. A lot of people don't understand, you know, blocking. How do you block a scene? Character development, the arcs, story arcs, things of that nature. Third act. A lot of people don't get that. I do. You cinematographers out there. You film buffs. You're nodding. You know. The rest of you don't know what the going on. I don't mean any of that, obviously. I'll take the Rams right now. And I mean, going out and getting Von Miller. And Von Miller at this stage of the game, is he still the wrecking ball he was 5 years ago before some injuries? No, he's not. But add him to a mix that they've already got on the defensive side. I got a kick out of them doing All In. Another cinema reference. They did the Rounders thing. They said, we're all in. And it was the Malkovich scene from Rounders. And it's like, people on Twitter are like, you know, he lost that pot, right? It's not a good meme choice, but they clearly don't care about the draft.
It's crazy.
It really is interesting. It's sort of taking out second mortgages and third mortgages on your house just so you can sleep on a pile of cash tonight. You're just like, well, we'll worry about that then.
Which, I was going to say, like, do they even have college scouts in their organization? Because they don't need them.
Well, I mean, they've got some third-day picks, but no, they don't. But I don't mind. I don't mind trying for the instant gratification. But when you truly do go all in, you better win that pot. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you need to make it count, and that's what they've done. But having said that, Steve, like, a second and a third for Miller, if you get peak Miller, is there anybody that you're getting in the second or the third that's going to have the type of impact that Miller's capable of having in the short term here? No, probably not. But I said I'll take the Rams. Arizona fans, I'm sure, would like to ask, did I miss the game when they went out there and ran it down their throat? No, I saw it. I guess it's just more... maybe it's belief because McVay's gotten there. You know, they've been to a Super Bowl once before.
I'll still take Tampa.
There's no reason not to. There's no reason not to. And this, I'm not the fake debate sort of guy, but this is one of those deals where you could have handed me a slip and said, make a case for.
Yeah.
And you could reasonably make a case for about four different teams in the NFC.
You're lobbying for the other teams.
Steve and I had a conversation. We live here in Washington, and one of my best friends is a lobbyist. Steve had a little neighborhood chat with a guy that's a lobbyist, and Steve asked me what they do. What do lobbyists do? And so I just went through this lengthy explanation, and then I said, you know, I have no idea if what I said is even right. I mean, I don't really know. So I asked my friend who is a lobbyist to explain to me what he does, and he did. And then I said, now do it again and pretend that I'm six. So that, and then he's explained it in a way that I understood.
Yeah.
So you ever think about what we do for a living and just,
oh God,
and compare it to like people that have grown up jobs? I do. I think about it all the time. I mean, I go to bed at 4 a.m. I watch games. We give out picks. We're going to sit here tonight and watch Monday Night Football. They're going to go sit there and talk about it. And that's our job. Are you joking? Like, people wake up and drive in traffic and they sit there and they work hard and they do important stuff. And maybe they do not so important stuff that they just hate, but they do it. And I respect the grind and the hustle and all the rest of it. I just don't know how we got to do this. It's so stupid. Like, look at the two of us.
I'm looking right at you right now.
I know. And I'm looking at you. You went to Stanford, for God's sake, because you're good at sports. Think about that. It's incredible. My grade point average at Maryland, I swear to God, I think it started with a one. I got a flick in a semester. I've told this story, a flick. Do you understand? Fail, withdraw, incomplete, C. the C was in a class I was making up from a previous semester, which meant that the grade only counted to the overall GPA, not the semester GPA. So quick, what's that make the semester GPA? 0.0. I got a show tonight. Like, try to explain that to people. Like in our neighborhood, this guy, like, this guy's a builder and this guy owns a company. And like, I do bad beats. That's what I do. I do bad beats. My God.
You mentioned you give out picks. How'd your picks go last week?
6-1 for free. Whoa. Hey, what were you?
4-1.
10-2. These two dopes that we just were mocking. Give us our flowers. 10-2 this week at the window. How about that? Let's talk about that.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Before we move on, a couple things I want to mention. You know that Steve pulls double duty in the podcasting world. Please check him out with our buddy Chris the Bear Felica from Game Day. It's Stanford Steve and the Bear. New episodes every Wednesday throughout the college football season. You can follow Stanford Steve and the Bear wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. Also, watch the NBA Today on ESPN Monday through Friday, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. Malika Andrews, who's just awesome at everything she does, is at the helm. She's joined by ESPN's full cast of NBA experts, insiders, reporters, and more. NBA Today, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, ESPN, the ESPN app, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Does this mean we can pivot to college football?
Yes.
We get our first look at the rankings Tuesday night.
I'll go right now.
What?
This week I hate, because I'm going to hate it, the playoff rankings.
Here's what I hate.
You're anticipating that Ohio State's going to be ahead of Oregon.
Yep. And like Alabama's going to be 2.
The results don't matter, right? I mean,
it's brutal.
When it happens, we talked about this last week. When it happens, if I'm Oregon, I'd be the fury and rage of a million suns. I mean, mm-hmm. we went to Columbus mm-hmm. without the number one pick, defensive end Thibodeau, mm-hmm. and we went into Columbus and we won. Well, they're better now. Well, that's great. We played and we were better. And what we lost more recently? That's how we lost on a PI call on the last play of the game, which might have been PI, might not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we lost like that. And then since that was more recent, then that means that the team we beat in their place is better than us. Why would I ever play anyone ever again? Why would I ever schedule anyone that's really good like that? There's no upside. You preemptively hate it.
I do, because I know it's going to happen. Everybody in the SEC is going to be higher, and I'll go back and I'll look at it. Okay, Georgia's been in every complete control of every game they played. Right? Who's their best win? Auburn at Auburn. All right, I'll give you. All right, good win. Auburn lost to Penn State. Okay, Alabama, as impressive as there is, right?
Yep.
More talent than anybody. Who's their best win? Ole Miss.
I guess.
Okay. Those teams, they're going to be ranked high. I mean, we hear about the SEC, how great it is week in and week out. You got to have better wins.
That's a different conversation to me than the Ohio State Oregon game, because they actually played each other. And the team, we know Ohio State, who, by the way, their strength of schedule at the moment is like in the 70s or 50s or whatever it is. It was brought up in our meeting.
Yeah, it's like 60s or 70s.
Or 50, whatever it is. Oregon's in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And they won head-to-head.
Correct. Without their best player.
Who's probably
the number one pick in the draft.
But it won't matter. Which, And then, like, and then, and we talked about this before. Cincinnati's just looking around, going, "Wait, remember us? No, you guys are screwed. You're screwed." Because you can already, again, this is stuff we covered last week, that you can already kind of feel it happening. You can feel the Alabama and Ohio State losses being just sort of ignored.
Yep.
And by the way, there is a point to be made that the committee's job is to try to choose the best teams in the end and ask themselves who are the best teams. And I appreciate that. And I'm with you. I'm with you. And if your argument at the end is that, let's say for argument's sake, that Oregon and Ohio State at the end were both, and Ohio State's strength of schedule will improve because they're going to play Michigan. They're going to play Michigan State.
Correct.
What a win last week over Michigan.
Woo!
They're going to play Michigan, which, I mean, that's a highly ranked team, and that'll improve the strength of schedule too. If at the end you say, well, it's our opinion is that they're better. When your opinion's required to break a tie because you don't have a result, great. But I don't know how your opinion, well, we think they're better, trumps the fact that they actually played and weren't. Mm-hmm. How does that work? How does your opinion trump our actual result where your opinion was wrong? Like, that's the hard part for me. And then listen, I'm Big Ten Scotty, right? We know that. I waved the flag for my conference proudly.
Yeah.
But I also wave common sense flag. Like, saying thank you is more important than saying trick or treat. Actual results have to trump opinion.
Yes. And just one more thing on that, because then we're going to get, we're going to hear the argument, well, if Alabama played Oregon, what would the point spread be? Okay.
Yeah, well, what was the point
spread when Oregon went to Columbus? 14.5.
And what was the point spread when Alabama went to College Station?
There you go.
17.
You know, upsets happen. That's why the sport's great. And opportunity, when you rip the opportunity away from these teams that deserve it, that's where we get in trouble.
And you and I would be among the first to say, look at how Vegas would view
a matchup.
Because I get it. I've said it forever. Let Vegas seed the teams because their bottom line is an actual bottom line. But the whole, what would the point spread be when the point spread was 14 on the field and they won, and look at the loss and how they took that loss. Like, Bama lost on the last play of a game on a field goal. And I get it. But Oregon lost, you know, on the last play of the game, which turned into an overtime after an untimed down. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. But this hasn't happened yet. There's a ton of games to be played. It's just, I'm with you that preemptively, I think the way the cards come out of the deck, you can anticipate it. And it's just, it flies in the face of actual on-field results.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying here. In the first rankings, there is no reason to have Ohio State ahead of Oregon. And they have the loss. We talked about it. But when these teams are undefeated and you're already putting one loss teams ahead of them, there's no point. You're telling us right now what you think. And I like the teams that lose, drop them. And then if they play better, then they move up. But when you keep them there, that's where we run the problems.
The cost of a loss in the SEC is less than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Always, it's just how it is.
Yeah.
Right or wrong. But look, the rankings will come out Tuesday, and then we can scream and yell about it and see, you know, see where things go. But if Oregon's behind Ohio State now, then there's zero way they can catch them, and they would have already played him and beat him, and it wouldn't have mattered. Yeah. Good talk. Cool. That was fun. Glad we went to Columbus and won. It meant it meant squadoosh. It meant diddly poo. What else? Any questions for me? How about the World Series? You into it?
Yeah.
You said your World Series, you're at a 9 before this.
It's crazy. I mean, you look at the games, they weren't great watches. Houston's approaches at the plate in game three and four were mind-boggling to me. And then obviously they come out game five with their backs against the wall, give up a grand slam and come back and win. It is pretty fascinating now that Atlanta's going back to Houston, but they won one and they lost one in trying to get their bullpen and their staff right. So as Kirchin pointed out, if you're the Braves, this is what you wanted. And they got it, but man, that place is going to be a tough place to win a title, man. I think it's been great. I still have to say, I don't know how to prove this with a graphic or research or something, but these guys that are coming in out of the bullpens, like, I haven't watched a lot of them. And I mean, they are just attacking hitters. These guys, I mean, the arm barn, I mean, they are fearless. So it sets up for great theater. Again, I will say. So, yeah, we'll see. We got game six and possibly seven.
I've enjoyed just listening to Snitker talk. Talked about the little boy, how the teams that tend to do the best in the playoffs are the ones that keep that little boy in them. I thought the Dansby Swanson interview Saturday night after they won was just tremendous. Just genuine appreciation for being in Atlanta, for being part of this team, for being on that stage. And listening to Snitker talk, I think, yeah, I there's something to that, right? It's grown men playing a boys game. I get it. Or a kids game, boys and girls play. Hey, I mean, a girl dad, you know what I mean? You think about the way we frame things. You just want to do better at it. But I thought that the approach from games three and four, and Tim Kirchner and I talked about it on SportsCenter, it's what they had to do. I mean, you start two guys that are rookies that haven't started like 27 innings between them. And they're starting in World Series games, and they won one of them. And they had a 4-0 lead and the next. And that would be the part about it, if I'm a Braves fan, that would give me plenty of concern, is that place is out of its mind. they're up 4-0, and they're 8 innings away from a World Series. And Houston doesn't blink, man. They get a couple, then they get a couple more, and they have it tied by the third inning. Then Freeman gives Atlanta the lead again, and again Houston doesn't blink. And by the time it's done, you know, they score 9 of the last 10 runs in that game. And you talk about approach and this and that. I mean, taking a sport that's graded out over 162 games and trying to figure out who's the best over 7 is anything can happen, and it often does. But It's hard not to think that Houston going home, even against Atlanta's best pitchers, that they won't figure out a way at minimum to get it to a seventh game. But hey, look, we saw the Nationals going to Houston and they won all 4 games that they won and the World Series that the Nationals won in that park. So fall baseball is excellent. The emotion of it, the tension of it, something we talked about on here. It's just hard when the team you root for feels so far removed from it. Which is also something we've covered on here.
What do you say to Astros fans?
Nothing they want to hear, you know? That's a great, great question.
Because
when people say you cheated and you get mad, well, you need to be an adult because you cheated. I mean, Cora and Hinch didn't spend a year out of the game because they didn't cheat. They spent a year out of the game because you cheated. That's a fact.
Yeah.
And when you as fans get mad, you're not to be taken seriously. Like you're just doing that internet thing where you're mad and you want to fire it out. You don't get to say anything. That's what happened. If I were a Dodger or a Yankee fan, I'd have a really hard time stomaching the past, but you can't undo it. I would say to you, cheer for your team by all means. Celebrate the fact that they're great because they are,
mm-hmm.
right? But when people come at you for the past, I would try my best to just nod and say, well, that's behind us, and here, and we're here now again. We're back here again. Right. I mean, you just can't get mad about people saying you did the thing that you said you did. Who are you mad at? Us? You're mad at us? The people. And I mean, I'm not pointing it out. I'm just repeating the facts here. I'm not accusing you. Difference between being accused of something and being basically having admitted to what you did. I think Cora sat out a year because he didn't do it. I think Hinch spent a year out of it. Like, I'm going to resign because it didn't happen. Come on.
Because, I mean, you know, like, that's what they're like, if they could do this and come back from down 3-1 and win it, and they're and like, that's going to be their response is like, all right, the cheating never happened. Like, we won this one.
Well, and here's, but you know, to be fair to them, if they do come back and win two in a row here, people are going to say, oh, you guys are cheating again.
Yes.
And that's not reasonable either. Although, when you have been found to have done something, you're asking a lot for people to assume that you just quit. Like, you know, if you dipped and then you say, I quit dipping, like, yeah, maybe driving home, you're packing a lipper, huh? Maybe when it's just
pouch or two,
maybe when it's just between you and God, you throw one in the lower deck. You know, I don't know why I'm making that comparison. I'm just saying it's if you've done something you shouldn't have done, you know, it's probably like cheating on a spouse. Like, you know, do I trust you? Do I ever truly trust you? I can forgive you, but do I ever really believe that you're on the straight and narrow? It's probably a lot to ask, but Houston fans don't care. And you know what? They don't owe anybody anything other than just, I think you owe people being reasonable. If the pass comes up, that you don't fire off some angry response.
Like, yeah. I mean, cause that's the key is what, like, you're always going to root for your team. Right. I mean, and
you should.
Yeah.
And you should,
but you have to get past it, but you have to be honest with yourself when that situation from the past gets brought up.
That's not people's strength.
Exactly. And that's what I was just going to say. And that seems really difficult for people to do nowadays.
Yeah, not a strength to accept responsibility for. And this isn't even for your own personal failings. This is the team you cheer for is that where they lost their way. But I just hope it goes seven just because, you know, the seventh game of a World Series is kind of in its own category in terms of sports theater. Steve,
bang.
Anything else? Wizards are 5-1 playing Atlanta on Monday. We're excited. Let's all go to a Wizards game.
All right. So, like, you're saying this.
Yeah.
Does this mean, like, you're making the calls and getting all the tickets and saying, hey, everybody?
Sure. I don't know who I'm calling. I'll call somebody. Get together a group. Go get an Elvin Hayes jersey and go cheer on B. You went to a Caps game, didn't you?
I did.
All right.
Great.
Well, then we got to go to a Wizards game. We got to, you know, immerse ourselves in the culture, DMV.
All right.
You're Mr. Neighborhood Party Guy.
No, that's you.
Not really. I said what I hated. Say trick or treat. You hate the rankings preemptively.
They're not even out yet.
See, this is where if I had my card, I'd know if I did all the stuff, but I don't.
Yeah.
So I think this is the end.
You can't tell your kids there's fake holidays, man. Don't do that.
I don't know if I use the word fake. I think I said like I'm off on Christmas and I'm off on Thanksgiving, you know, like the most important ones. And by the way, I trick or treated with them and no one cared. They left me at every house. They were on to the next house. You have to, yell to stay at least somewhere within eyes. I can't see you. Right. I mean, you're little.
What are people going to do now that they can't argue about candy corn?
That's a good point. That provided
a lot of
content there.
Jeez.
A lot of content.
Wow.
That's what the world is now, Steve. Everybody's looking for content.
Yeah.
But you know what? The numbskull with the 1 point whatever and the guy that went to Stanford, you know, we got bad beats. We got every week new content. We don't have to figure out how to repackage the candy corn debate. Just roll the Florida State Clemson end.
There we go.
All right. So we're doing that. We'll be with you throughout the week on the TV show, Sports Center.
Your TV show.
It's ours. It's partnership, buddy.
Your name's on it.
Not really. Is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Isn't it just called Sports Center?
No, I don't think so. I think there's some initials now after the Sports
Center. Are there?
Yeah.
We need some.
SC with SVP.
All right. All right, we say should put that on a shirt and sell it. I've been told that for our show's 7 years in. I've been telling we're making some stuff. For just one of these days, one of these days, just a box is going to show up. We're going to have some shirts. When that happens, I'll let everybody know. We'll sell them bootleg style. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next week.